Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. It is good to be back. July 2nd was the last show, so happy to be with VSiN, happy to be doing it again. Great time of the year to be back, and appreciate all of the people reaching out saying, hey, when's the podcast coming back? Where's the podcast? It's good to know people listen to it, enjoy it. Hopefully people get in the back in the routine of listening to it. The Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we are back. It is good to be back. And a great college football weekend here. And I think the last 10 years or so, I can remember, is really when this has started, where the sport has made it a priority, it seems. And maybe some of it's coincidence too. But either way, the first weekend has been great. I remember for years it was a lot of, you know, Alabama versus Mercer, and all the games were blowouts. The big boys would schedule a cupcake, and the first week would be a waste of time. That's not the case anymore. You get some good games here. The first weekend, the three big games that I'll get to here in a second: Texas, Ohio State laying 1.5, Notre Dame laying 2.5 against Miami in Miami, and LSU down to a 3.5-point dog. So it's Clemson -3.5 hosting LSU. The one trade-off, and you're going through this with all the sports here, the sense of urgency here with all the extra playoff teams. Yeah, the games are great, and that part of it has been improved here, but with all of these teams making it, there's just not the sense of urgency as in the past, where if you had these games early on, which is why teams wouldn't schedule them, you know, your season could be done the first weekend. But it's you can afford a loss, you can afford two losses. There is not that much of a – there is not that sense of urgency that we used to have with college football, where every game is life or death. But that being said, great to have them back. They covered the weekend, capping off with Monday TCU in North Carolina, which – I'm excited to see, knowing Michael Lombardi, working with Michael Lombardi, just the whole Belichick in North Carolina. I texted him a couple days ago. If you're thinking getting any breadcrumbs from him in terms of they're going to be good, they're going to be bad, good luck with that. He's not saying a word. So I'm rooting for him. We'll get to that game on the Monday show. But I'll get to the three big ones here. By the way, Kev O'Neill from the Oddsbreakers, I should have mentioned, coming up. A little rusty here, having not done this in a while. But Kev O'Neill did a great job last year calling Indiana to the playoffs. He had Indiana win the Big Ten title, like 1,000-1, which got pretty damn close. So Kev is pretty sharp with college football. Get his thoughts on all the big games he likes, futures, and all of that. Start with Texas, Ohio State, number one versus number three. It is unusual to have this high of a marquee matchup here, where you just, you know, the average fan's going to sit down and watch this game on Saturday and not know that many of the players, just brand new teams on both sides. It's going to be exciting to watch Arch. It should be fun. I don't love the idea of taking 1.5. I know Texas has gotten bet here, but you're basically asking an inexperienced quarterback to win the game. That 1.5 is probably not going to help you very much. Probably going to need to win the game in a hostile environment. So I think Texas, pound for pound, probably the better team. Ohio State, two new coordinators. Kelly's gone. Knowles is gone. That's possibly an issue here. From a betting standpoint, I would probably just wait for the first team to score and bet the other team and hopefully get a plus price. But I will give you out a bet here. Texas, and you get this at DraftKings. Texas +0.5 in the first quarter is -135. I just think, I've heard me talk about this on other shows, it's just you get that hook, that 0.5 where you win on a tie in a quarter. And if you get the ball first and you have a long drive and you either get a touchdown or a field goal, you're in great shape. If you just trade punches and it's 3-3 after one or 7-7, so often you win on that. Or so often that tie comes into account. In a toss-up game, I will take the 0.5. Plus, good defenses, the totals come down, inexperienced quarterbacks. So that 0.5, especially when the lower the total is, the more valuable that 0.5 is. So Texas +0.5 in the first quarter. You find that at DraftKings -130. I'll take the 3.5 with LSU against Clemson. I'm not completely sold on Klubnik, Dabo. I know they've got a better team they've had in past years. And I don't love Kelly either, but Kelly has done well as a dog here for the most part here. So to me, I could see this being a field goal game. I will take LSU in a game where I just think anything on the other side of the three is probably the way to go there. I think the love for Clemson might be a little bit overboard. And then as far as Notre Dame and Miami, that is Sunday night, Miami laying 2.5. I'm sorry, Notre Dame laying 2.5 against Miami in Miami. Our buddy, the Bear, Chris Felica, who's a Miami alum, Miami grad, but he's usually super, super pessimistic about his own teams, including Miami. He actually loves Miami. He thinks they're going to win the game. I know last year, the opener against Florida, they dominated the game, a Florida team that ended up being really pretty decent. So that aged well. And as the season went on, Miami just did not play well. Injuries, everything, bad defense. I can't take Cristobal. It's a close game. I just can't do it. And Kim O'Neill is actually coming on here in a minute. He was on VC, made the same point. We had him on a month or so ago, and he brought up the same point. It's the correct one. Freeman against Cristobal is the biggest mismatch, or one of the biggest mismatches you can have in a close game where decision-making goes for it. And these games are going to be won on the margins. You just can't trust Cristobal, whose teams are never buttoned up, running plays when you can kneel it, all these things, when to go for it. He's just been so shaky in terms of that it would be Notre Dame laying the 2.5. I'd probably prefer a money line just because it's on the road. It's an inexperienced quarterback. That 2.5, sometimes has a habit of coming back to bite you here a little bit if you can find a cheaper money line. But I'll call it Notre Dame minus the 2.5. I do think that. Again, the coaching situation here, minus 142 on the money line. So is that really worth it? 49.5 the total. I'll go Notre Dame minus the 2.5 just because of the coaching. So LSU plus the 3.5, Notre Dame minus the 2.5, and then Texas plus a half a point in the first quarter. We got a bunch of games here on Friday night. So they did a really good job layering the schedule. You got games on, they started Thursday. You got them Friday. Texas, Georgia Tech, Colorado. Not great games, but games. Western Illinois versus Illinois. Who cares? 45.5 point spread there. Auburn, Baylor. Baylor getting 2.5. I don't know if you're going to get a 3 here. I think a lot of people, you might get a 3 because a lot of people are going to see, wow, I got an SEC team against a Big 12 team and I have to lay less than a field goal with the SEC team. I'd be careful. I think this is Baylor for me. I think Baylor, especially with home field advantage here, I think there's a reason that's under the 3. I would be careful with Auburn there and just thinking, oh, the SEC team, short number. There's a reason that number is that short. So I actually think Baylor wins that game. UNLV against Sam Houston. UNLV was awful in the opener against Idaho State last week is 31-point favorites. Almost lost the game. So should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun. Texas, Ohio State starts at noon or thereabouts. They've done it's been a recent trend I don't like in college football where used to be 12 o'clock, college football Saturday. The games have started. You could start flipping around and checking the scores. It's like 12:08, 12:12, 12:14. I mean, start the games at noon. It annoys me. I don't know why it does because I could just turn it on later, but it annoys me. I like the idea of 12 o'clock, boom, game has already started. They don't do that anymore. Alabama, Florida State, that's up to Bama by 2 touchdowns. Seems like a lot. It seems like a lot of points for Bama. A rematch. Well, not a rematch, but this was the debate 2 years ago of Florida State being undefeated. Bama just won the SEC. Bama gets in. Not that it has any relevance to this game, but I just thought that was an interesting note from that one. Georgia laying 38.5 against Marshall. You just kind of read through some of these games here. So fun games. Fun games. Should be a lot of fun to watch this weekend where you can just watch college football wall to wall and then wrap it up with TCU and UNC on Monday night. So excited for all this. Excited to be back and really excited to talk to our next guest, Kev O'Neill, Oddsbreakers. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Let's get ready for the weekend. It's one of our favorite guests. If you listen to the podcast, you remember him. You know him well. It is the great Kev O'Neill from the Oddsbreakers. Kev, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on. Where does this weekend rank on your sports calendar?
Well, Will, first of all, thanks for having me back on your great show. It's Christmas, right? It's Christmas for me. It's Christmas for college football fans. My Badgers play tonight. Not super high on them this year. It's not like I'm betting them tonight. But this week is absolutely fantastic. But I got to tell you, Will, the last 8 days have been nonstop for me. Just boom, boom, boom. But I love it.
I'll give you dealer's choice here. The 3 big games, Texas, Ohio State, Miami, Notre Dame, and then LSU, Clemson. Where do you want to go? What's your favorite one from a betting standpoint?
My favorite one from a side is none of them, really. I guess LSU is a side that I do like more than the others. The thing about LSU is, they did return a lot of guys. Nussmeier is a very good quarterback and a possible number one draft pick here. Brian Kelly, say what you want about him. He's always been a great dog, even back to his Notre Dame days, hitting those plus 3.5s or more. I think his record's pretty good on that. I know his week one record's not that good, but then go to Clemson and look at Dabo Swinney. They played 3 SEC teams last year, Will. Do you know how many they won?
How many?
Zero.
There you go.
You know, I actually have LSU power rated slightly higher than Clemson right now. I think the value is on LSU in this game. I know that, you know, it's going to Death Valley. It's their Death Valley, you know, it's going to be a fantastic game to watch. But I was not sold on Clemson in the playoffs last year. I thought it was a little fugazi getting by SMU. I think LSU's the side.
Texas, Ohio State, you know, people are going to be looking to bet it. You know, it's come down in terms of the spread. The total has come down. If I were going to bet anything, I'd suggest two things. I'd say, you know, wait for whoever scores first and maybe bet the other team. Get on the other side of the 3.5 and just be able to sit there and take points in the game. And Texas plus half a point in the first quarter. Lay $1.30 or so. I love those first quarter bets. I just think there's a lot of value when it's only a 15-minute game and you win on a tie. So that's how I look at it. What's your approach going to be in this game, if anything?
Well, Texas better come out with their asses on fire after what happened last year when they were just about to tie the game and the fumble six, as you remember, that happened. And just such a crazy change of outcome. But then again, you have Archie Manning. Why wasn't Archie Manning playing that game? Why was he playing half the season? You know, is just Sarkisian just more care about his, you know, pride for his kids and trying to help them out? Or does he care about his career and winning games? I don't know. That's going to be a good question. You know, a lot of hype on Archie Manning. We're hearing all the right things, but these are beat writers. These are Texas people. I don't know what to believe. I mean, Julian saying he transferred from Alabama at some point. I mean, just saying, I don't know how good he's going to be. I think the variance on this side, Will, is extremely high. It's almost like Missouri State's playing Delaware or something, you know, Cap'n. I don't know. I don't know how these guys are going to come to the table in a big game format. But what a lot of people are on is the under. That number went from 51, 50 and a half all the way down to 47 and a half. I'm not going to lie. I made a bet on the over early and I got a terrible number. But at the same time, the way I looked at it is like 13 guys on the defenses were drafted, 8 from Ohio State, 5 from Texas. Defenses can be a little disoriented. Both lost. Ohio State's defense coordinator left them. You know, I just feel like the offensive firepower on Ohio State is still very high with Smith and Tate. And, you know, the running backs are going to be just fine there. I know they lost the running backs, but I think it's going to be fun to watch. But from a live betting scenario, it's probably a lot more value doing that. Or maybe we can just enjoy the game, you know, and have some popcorn and not bet that side.
Are you of the belief that you wait for the loser of this game and then you bet them on the futures and you'll get a better price? Is that a decent way to approach it?
It was for a long time. I don't know if the books are going to catch you on this one because they can almost expect that from some sharper players. Some books will be bad and screw up the number and they want to get out early. So if you want to do it, check the earliest line possible, but it's going to adjust very quick back to where it should be. This loss should not hurt at all the playoff chances of these two teams. These are quality losses in the very beginning of the season. One has to lose. But I, in my opinion, if I'm the book, I don't even move it but maybe 20 cents, you know, at the most. This is a situation, if the books do that, you absolutely jump on it. But good luck finding one. Maybe some of the more public books will have something like that for us.
The other big game here, Notre Dame-Miami. You brought up the point. You were on VEASAN a couple weeks ago, and I think it's the key point in the game. That's just a coaching matchup that's hard to get over. It's hard to sit there in a close game where decision-making is going to matter and take Cristobal and trust Cristobal. So it'd be Notre Dame or nothing for me. What are you looking at this game? Where do you think this line goes, and what are your thoughts?
Well, it's going to keep going down, and I just bet the under at 49.5. I'll tell you right now, the rain's coming in hard in this game. It's looking, it says 80% right now of rain. That storm's going to hit. And when rain comes in, you know, that's going to favor Notre Dame. I know Miami's got some good trenches this year, but Notre Dame's got the horses. They got the running backs. They got the way that they move the ball. But then, again, you got the inexperienced quarterback with C.J. Carr. What if he fumbles the ball and you get a fumble six or something? I still think there's a little variance in the side. I think the rain is actually going to help Notre Dame a little bit more than it helps Miami. But, you know, if it wasn't for Cristobal, I think Miami would be the correct side with a guy like Carson Beck coming in. Everyone's talking smack about Carson Beck. I don't know if he cares. I don't know what he hears. In general, that's a good buy on the other side when somebody feels disrespected. You know, Miami's got some great receivers there. I'm hearing great things. How much is it going to rain? How much is it going to affect that passing game? I don't think you should rush into anything right now and just watch the line, watch the weather. wind doesn't affect that Hard Rock Stadium so much, you know. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, remember, it's just a little square up there on top. So that's something I always look at, too. It's like, you know, if it's windy and the line over adjusts, maybe, you know, move back on something. But I think right now you get the under 49.5. That thing could dip all the way down to 47 by game time.
Anything before we get to you kind of picking whatever games you want to pick, anything on these Friday night games, Auburn-Baylor, Georgia Tech-Colorado, take it whatever direction you like.
I'm taking Baylor in this game. You know, everyone rants and raves about the SEC, how they're good talent, but they forget how much talent is in Texas, even from the, you know, the three-star guys could be a lot better than anybody else's three-star guys. Baylor returns a ton of guys, number 9 in returning production, which is huge. Sawyer Robertson, he's been fantastic. Did you know Sawyer Robertson was 5th in QBR last year? 5th in QBR. And that marriage to Jake Spavidal, the offensive coordinator that comes back, I think that's a massive return for Dave Aranda. Auburn returns a lot of people too, and they had some really good numbers last year, ranking 21st in returning production. But Jackson Arnold, man, quarterback, I watched him at Oklahoma, and I know he had some bad luck with some receivers here, but this is just feels like another Auburn team when we saw Bo Nix looking like not an NFL quarterback. And then, you know, that's what I feel like Jackson Arnold in this situation is as well, just looking bad at Auburn. They're going across the country. Baylor feels disrespected. This is a huge, bigger game for Baylor, in my opinion. I was hoping for a 3 to pop, but it's not going to happen. I had to grab 2.5 about a half an hour ago. I think that's going to kind of go back to 2, 2, 1.5. And I think the sharper money keeps it down. But I like Baylor to win this game. And I would still, you know, take the points. But this is a big spot for Baylor. They're the best team in the Big 12.
Yeah, and with these games that are lined around key numbers, so often with the 2.5 where you want the 3 or the 3.5 or the other way, if you're looking to take the favorite and it's 3.5, you don't want to lay the hook. Live betting, I know you got to pay a little extra now with live betting, which is becoming a problem and it's becoming harder to beat, but the live markets are so sensitive where, you know, if you're getting 2.5, all that has to happen is the other team gets the ball and they get a couple first downs, you're going to get your 3.5 probably at some point. So if you're really, you know, hell bent on getting 3.5, and it mattered last week, Stanford, Hawaii, where I kept saying it when we were talking about the game, I was like, I kind of like Stanford, but I want the three. Well, that 3 mattered. That number's not going to matter all the time, but it's going to matter enough to matter.
Yeah, and that's what I said last week as well. It's like maybe I get in with 3, but I was so busy at the circuit with contest weekend, I just had to miss some of that action. Every time I had a minute, though, I had college football on. I was at either the high-rise bar or the mega bar watching college football, sometimes even in the book. But I'm more of a sit-on-the-bar stool type of guy to watch that fun stuff. What a great weekend it was. We went 2-0. Was happy Iowa State hit at the +3.5 when we took that. We hit the easy over on the Sam Houston, Western Kentucky. I had no idea who took that number back down, but I thought that was ridiculous. And, you know, college football, we got that taste of college football now, and here we are. I'm a kid in a candy store, Will.
Last couple here. Take it whatever direction in terms of games I have not discussed. We only talked about the big ones. 2 games, 3 games, however many you like. Just kind of empty the notebook here on us.
Southern Miss, you know, they're getting 13.5 points against Mississippi State at home. And you got to remember, if you're capping what Southern Miss was last year, you're missing the boat, because Charlie Huff took his full Marshall team over that won the Sun Belt Conference last year. They won the Sun Belt Championship. And there's 18 kids that he's taken over, including the starting quarterback. So if you're capping Golden Eagles, you should be capping the Thunder and Herd against this team. Mississippi State was one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, in the SEC last year. And I know they had some quarterback injuries and everything. But when you look at this line, you assume that's in Starkville, but it's not. You know, it's at Southern Miss. You know, Blake Shapen wasn't exactly amazing when he got hurt. He got hurt in game 4, but when he played against Toledo, he got smoked. You know, it's like this Southern Miss team should not be laying points like this against what you would call now a pretty established Sun Belt team. This is a situation where it's their Super Bowl too. And I know Southern Mississippi State was disrespected last year, but man, 13.5 points, seriously, when you like won 2 or 3 games last year in the SEC and you're playing a championship caliber team from the Sun Belt, I'll take the 13.5 all day.
You were on last year and you gave out Indiana on this podcast to make the playoffs, to win the Big Ten. What great numbers, great bets. What do you got for us? What do you have here in terms of futures?
I wish I had those numbers again on like a Washington or something like that, right? That's what you look for. But speaking of Washington, I like Damon Williams for Heisman. 150-1 is what I got at Circa. That dropped. It's 100-1 now, but I still like it. Look, this kid's a stud. Jed Fish has been ranting and raving about this kid. You look at their schedule, you think, oh no, Ohio State and Oregon. But guess what? They get Ohio State and Oregon at home. Ohio State's in a weird spot. They get Texas, then two cupcakes, then a bye week. I hate a bye week after two cupcakes. They're going to come in, and then Washington's going to get them at home. It's going to be a really weird spot for Ohio State. And Oregon's the last game of the year. You know, I think there's a lot more pressure on Oregon, playoffs on the line and everything. I think Washington could also make the playoffs at 10-1, just to let you know. But Damon Williams has a great shot to upset some big teams, have put up some huge numbers like he has been doing in camps in the summer, as well as last year when he was 78% with the completion percentage in the games that he played. I think that's a great long shot if you want a big one, Will, for Heisman. I mean, if you want something to make the playoffs, I took Boise State at 2-1, but if you want to cut a quarter off that, maybe you do throw it on a Southern Miss. You hope Boise State loses two games, and let's say Southern Miss beats Mississippi State, wins the Sun Belt again. They're undefeated. 200-1 again. Here we are. 200-1 is where they're at. But hey, man, like I said, this is a small beer money situation. But last year, I said what should have bet more.
Absolutely. I'll get you out of here on this last minute or two. It's Labor Day weekend. We got all these games on. What are you eating? What are you drinking here before we let you go?
Definitely eating a lot of wings this weekend. I'm going to have some hoagie dip. I love hoagie dip, man, with the little bread pieces. Hoagie dip is just one of my go-tos for a wonderful college football weekend. I'm sure pizzas will be floating around the house as well. We're going to have the pool open and the pool bar open. And a French onion dip I really like a lot with potato chips. That's going to be one of the specialties as well. Maybe a little carne asada burritos going on. We love our carne asada down here in Arizona. But hey, man, I'm always up for ideas, and we love our food down here.
Kev, this was fun, man. Appreciate you coming on. It's good to see you. Good luck with all the picks. Let us know where we can find you.
Make sure you check us out at The Odds Breakers, at theoddsbreakers.com. Not only picks, information for you to make your own judgments, misleading box scores, all the fun stuff that makes you a handicapper or somebody that just wants a little bit of edge on your sports betting. Thanks again, Will.
Kev, you're the best. We'll do it again soon, man. Appreciate it.
All right, that will do it. Thanks to Kev O'Neill. Again, great to be back. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll try to get those reviews up as we get back here to business. We'll be back Monday, talk a little TCU-UNC, recap the weekend. We got plenty of baseball here with the races down the stretch and the NFL starting soon. So, again, a great time of the year. Appreciate you guys listening. See you Monday.